So you must have mascharon kid kamina, they had olam haba. Al mascharon olam hazeh. What was the scharon olam hazeh? Lehem levada mita oretz le'ova zar betocham. That they were given the land, they were given a certain extra chalik. Yehuda was given malchus, Reuven was given Evrayadin. Le'ova zar besecham, so Tanchuma says, what does it mean? Keshebo moishel levarachem. That in the brachas there was not there was no gap between Reuven and Yehuda, which is interesting. Doesn't quite. So what's the point of it? And we'll see that soon. So the Gemara says Bishlam Yehuda says Ashkan doidich sivis says vayake Yehuda vayemasad kimi many. So that's mitfurish. Reuven, how do we know? The Moshul Akmenim Arbiyanus Ma'irich Siv Yechi Reuven Valyomus v'zois the Yehuda. So the connection to Pesukim is Kolayis Hashem Sheisol b'Midbar Yitzmas Yehud Megalgim b'Aroin Tol Moshe Kei Miasrachmim, and he said Ribbono Shel Olam Mi Garam LeRuven Sheyoy the Yehuda. It's Yehuda by stepping up Ming Maida. He was Garam for Reuven to be Maida. Miyash Mashem called Yehuda and so on and so forth. So so that's the Gemara. I skipped a few lines here. Then the Gemara will finish up with two lines. Bishlam Yehuda de Oidi Keich Lesarf Tamar. I mean, for Yehuda, it was very, very important to be Maida so that Tamar would not get burnt. That's quite a good reason. But El Ruvain Lomli Daidi, why was Ruvain Maida? The reason, in other words, I guess the problem with some Rishonim say is you're not supposed to be Maida Berabim on Averis Bein Adam Lamako. So what pushed him to be Maida Barabim? So that his brothers would not be considered guilty. In other words, he was interested in clearing his name that there shouldn't be any type of a suspicion cast on the brothers. That is the Gemara.
Okay, that's Ben Adam Lachavero. That's the Teretz.
Well, yes, Pasha's Ben Adam Lachavero. Yes. In other words, there was a suspicion on everybody, and the fact that to clear that the air, I think it was important. It was a tellus for them. Maybe it was also a tellus for the Emes. Who's what? You know, who is at fault? Who did what? And so on. Okay. So let's look at the morale. Hoydav loy boish v'seich zoch v'yoshar chayam haba. So he says like this. Zoch v'yoshar chayam haba. Pirish. Ki lekach zoch chayam haba. Ki ha-hoydo ma-shemoyde b'rabim chetoy. V'kvishas yitzoy shegoy v'al yitzoy mechotosi. So it's a certain type of kvishas yitzahara. The fact that he's extended up sechotosi. V'in sofik izu kvishas yitzoy rabbe koach. I think we explained last time. When a person is moda something, berabim, so there's a certain element of divorcing oneself from whatever it is that he did. Most people, when they want to hang on to something and they did something wrong and they're trying to hang on to it, they're not going to be moda. They will excuse themselves. They will say, I wasn't really guilty. However they excuse themselves, it's because I still feel connected to what I did. For a person, in a certain sense, it's a sort of an amputation. It's like when somebody says, you know, the years in high school are really lost years, 4 years into the garbage. There's a certain self-negation. I'm coming to you not as a 30-year-old adult, I'm really like 20 years old because 10 years was wasted down the drain. So the admission has in itself a pushing away of the Yates's grasp on you. So the Gemara says there's an element in the Hoidah of being removed from writing two aspects. One is between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain sense, Olam Haba, and the fact that he stopped doing the Aveira and he's accepting himself to do what's right. Secondly, the fact that in this world he's able to cut off a part of himself that's diseased. So even though in Olam Haba there is no Yitzhara, but there's a certain element of Kvod Shemayim where a person is Mamlech HaTzroch, Matzik HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Oida. V'davka Oida Lachet, So this is a point where we'll see maybe soon. He says that the word hoidah is a root for both admission of guilt and gratitude. Hoidoya, the footnote speaks about it a lot, but he hints at it. Maybe we'll see in the next piece that maybe we'll come back to it. The next piece is Ruven Hoidvei Boish. And
so just a question, a little bit on Inyana de Yuma. It seems it's a very popular thing.
Freshman, I'm trying to figure out what.
It seems like it's a very popular thing nowadays. When someone gets caught doing something wrong, they just seem to be moide, but there seems an emptiness in it. It seems almost it's a terrible thing, you know. Right. Nowadays, you see that it's not what we're talking about here. Yeah,
right.
What exactly are the, you know, they just get caught, yeah, I'm sorry, and they seem to go on. But there isn't, what exactly is the chiluk between that kind of admission and?
If a person is not sacrificing anything, if a person doesn't have the sense that admission means he's cutting off a big piece of himself, that's not admission. And the only way, obviously, that you can tell is your intuition about the person coming forth. How much does it disturb him? How much does it bother him? Is the person as troubled about what he did as you would expect it to happen, or? Is it kind of a ritual? At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell, and I guess you, when you have an interaction with a person, you have a sense what exactly, you know, how exactly contrite is he really? It's like one person's regret is that he was stupid enough to do it in the way that he got caught. The fact that a person would like, if the amends the person is willing to make doesn't seem to take much effort or cost, then what's it about? If let's say I hurt people, if my amends doesn't include taking enough of my resources that would hurt me and kind of making up to them, then I would wonder what is it exactly? My wife has, my mother used to have a saying, an old Yiddish saying, that love and promises do not cost any money. In other words, when you tell somebody you love him or you promise somebody something, it doesn't, you know, it's not really depositable anywhere. So if it doesn't cost the person anything, if there's no sense of the person having expressing any type of owing something, then one wonders what in the world, how sincere is it? Obviously, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, but I need to feel that the person feels devastated. Someone told me once he ate in Lakewood. He used to go eat. There was an old man who lived in Lakewood, and he used to eat there sometimes Friday nights. He used to make bachem occasionally with this person, and he told me he noticed that he puts a lot of salt on everything he eats. And he once asked him about it. It was very peculiar. And the person told him he had been a soldier in World War I. I don't remember if it was a Russian or German soldier. He was a soldier. And one of the enemies charged at him, he shot him, and as the person collapsed to die, he said Shema Yisrael. So he decided from that day onwards, he will never enjoy food again. You know, even though halachically he obviously was in full right to do it, but whatever it is, a person has a sense of wrong, and he feels part of his own life has to be devoid of enjoyment, something. So then there's a makom to say that it's sincere. But if the person checks into a fancy rehab place, and you know, 6 months later he wants the movie rights for the book he's writing, you wonder about you know, what, how sincere it is. That's all. Okay. It says v'lova zor b'soichom, that that Reuven and Yehuda became a tremendous kinship developed in the fact that they listed together by each other in the brachas. Says lo yava zor b'soichom nira shehahoydom me'achid oisam legamri. So somehow the hoydah is ma'achidem v'dova muflag v'omak ma'oid, and it's something extremely deep. Eich hoydah ma'achid oisam. Why? I mean, each one of them did tshuva. That's wonderful. Each one was it did a vidui. That's great. Where is the makom of achdus between the two of them? There's no sheikhs. They're both fine people and so on. So he says, olekachom chazal oime moide moide mishasko isoy k'moy misha oime shma shma. So you see that if somebody says twice moidim, it's like saying twice shma. So he speaks about it in the Sivat Shuva bit. I have it here. And he says, basically, his point is that any time every person perceives himself as being a somewhat independent entity from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chait emphasizes that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do this, don't do that. And I do whatever it is that I decide to do. So the element in Chait is a deeper element of a sense of autonomy, of dependence, and so on. A Haidah is... means that I owe you something. Let's give an example. Imagine that I hit somebody. I wronged somebody, I hit somebody. I hurt him. So imagine somebody else comes over and berates me for hitting him, and the person says, I demand an apology for hitting him. The person will say, whether I right or wrong, it's got nothing to do with you. The person will go to the one he hit or hurt and say, I'm sorry, because he was violating a right that that person had. If, let's say, I'm working for a boss and I'm patching around, I'm getting paid a salary and I'm just kind of just doing not very much in the shop and in the office. So when I go back to the owner and I tell him I messed up, the sense is it's on your dime. You were paying me to work. I wasn't. I owe you. So the apology, in the sense of hoidah, is contains in itself an element of acknowledging that I owed you something and wronged you. So address, and it's one of the reasons why in the nusach of the vidui, you have a strange nusach. You have honor Hashem. You start by saying, please Hashem, Hatasi Avisi Pashati, Ani, and so on, the Chobesi, I'm the Shachakanim. What's the Ona Hashem? What's the addressing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is, I can regret things. For instance, let's give an example. I'm walking down a street, and a huge, burly fellow comes and with a big stick, and I decide to tease him a bit. I decide to stick out my tongue at him, and this person bashes me, and I end up really, really messed up. So I certainly regret having done that. I certainly regret doing it, but I can't say that I need to apologize to that person. That it's sticking out your tongue at somebody is not doing something which requires you to bash the other guy. So regret and apology are not the same. A person can overeat at Yontif time and 10 pounds later be regret, but it doesn't owe anything or anybody an apology. Apology means that you were the balabas. So if I insulted you deeply, I apologize because you have a right for your own dignity and I took it away. So I'm readmitting by saying I'm begging for forgiveness. First and foremost, I'm saying you had the right for dignity, for whatever it is, and I took something that didn't belong to me. That's the statement. So the same thing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person is being misvaded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is a proclamation of Achdus Yisbarach. It's you had the right to demand of me. It is yours to demand of me to do X, Y, Z, and I didn't do it. So Hoydor carries itself a very powerful message of acknowledgement in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus. The same thing is true. This is really the sense when I thank somebody, what am I doing? So, Lumashal, I have a pen. Do I care if I'm using the pen? No. It's not an expensive pen, it's just a pen. So, imagine somebody comes and keeps taking my pen without asking permission, just takes it whatever he wants. So, it's annoying. It's annoying not because I miss the pen so much, it's annoying because he sort of makes a statement that my ownership doesn't command any acknowledgement on his part. When a person comes over and says, I was wrong for using your pen without asking permission, he's re-acknowledging my right. He's not acknowledging it's my pen and my right to give permission or rescind permission on using my pen. So when a person tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chatasi, Avidui, he's making that statement, you are the one that has the right to make decrees on the Brius, and I am in the wrong for not holding on to it. So he says, so that's point one.
So what's the Anna Hashem? How did that answer?
Because I'm not just saying, I did Averis and I regret it. I overate and I regret it. That's not the Anna Hashem means please Hashem. It's the regret is klapi you, because you have said not to do it, I have overstepped my bounds as a with creator and so on, and that's why saying modem modem is not any different than saying saying shma shma. Both are an acknowledgement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very very powerful way. And then he says, So this is a very fascinating point. Whenever, in as much as I am myself and autonomous or independent, and you are yourself and autonomous and independent, we have a distance between each other. I have my life, you have your life. We may meet, we may get together, we may touch base, but that's it. In as much as I am Batel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're Batel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we are as one. There's another route to Achdus, and that is by being Mizbatel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I'm Batel Hashem and you're Batel Hashem, and that's the common denominator of our Kesha, then we are in it together. It's the Rambam says it's in Demai, in Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam says that the word chaver is used in the Mishnah to denote a firm person, a person who's trustworthy, a maisa. Why? Why is the word chaver used to that? So the Rambam says because the friendship, the kinship of Talmid Chachamim is a true kinship because it's a chaverus l'shem shemayim, which almost seems to be almost contradict each other. We think that friendship is it's me for you, you for me, and so on. But no, when a person's when the route goes through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, it's like in math, if A equals B and C equals B, then A equals C. It is one of the common with the rule of commutative rule that you know if A equals B and C equals B, then A and C are equal to each other. So here also, if I'm batla Hashem and you're batla Kadosh Baruch Hu, then we are together. There's no mechitza between us. So Reuven and Yehuda, both of them have a special opinion of Shaykhs to Tshuva. So to us, it seems very distinct. Maral explains someplace else, also in Sivat Tshuva, a different place. He explains that Reuven is the firstborn. Every element, Reuven is the firstborn. Every element of first carries in itself the ability to the shoresh, the chibah to the shoresh. In other words, it's. One sec, let me. There's something.
The camera is covered. The camera is covered.
It's covered, yes. Oh, wow. It says Mechasip Shoyim. Okay, whatever it is, it'll be fine. I just, it slipped out a bit. It wasn't so good on the, it wasn't
still down. Covered a little bit, Ella.
What? I know. Covered. It'll be fine. So Lemaisa, since every tshuva is going back to the Shoresh, Reuven, who's close to the Shoresh, is closer to the world of tshuva. Yehuda, his name, in other words, when he was born, his mother recognized that this is totally from Hashem. And as the first three children are all, listen, even Stephen, we're all even on it, and we're all part and parcel of the same. And, you know, we deserve to be, I deserve three and this and that. And the fourth child, she saw something that's totally about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you also have an element of Hoidah HaKadosh Baruch Hu that stands above and beyond the others. Okay, Shea Navi, then he brings it forward. It says, Shea Navi, Pasuk B'tshuva, Shtem HaShuvi Yisrael HaShem Alekecha, V'Shemei Reuven. That Chazal say that Hoshea, it says, Pasuk T'chila B'tshuva, he said, Shuva Yisrael HaShem Alekecha, V'Hisra B'tshuva, Kvar Be'an Al-Dova Zeb Mokam Acha, V'Shuva Yumuchu B'tshuva, Shuhay Abchor Liyakov, and Yuri Gamkein, Shoyle B'Toma. Ulkach Eilu Shnaim La'ova Zeb B'Seichem, Kasha Shneim Shayachem B'tshuva, V'Avin Zeb. So since both of them are shayach to the world of tshuva, therefore it's you know they're one. They don't have zar la ovav seichem. That's the point here. By me, it's late. I'm a bit rushed for time now. I'm sorry. It's 2:30 by us now. It's 3:00 actually. You know, it's 3:08. You have a question or anything, any point, anything you want to say?
A quick question. At Heichan Adabarim, how far does it go? If I owe you $100, so I pay you $100 and that's done. How do you machashev these things? If I was machashev you something in Ruchnias, I wasn't machabed you, I took the cover. How do you ever know when you've made it up? Or is that a bit of a balabatish question?
Yeah, it's a question for big mashkiach, a big Muslim mashkiach. you know, I don't know what to tell you. It's at least a person, minimally a person should be humble about who knows if I've done right for the person. Who knows? There's a letter from the stipler to one of the rebbes in Petach Tikva, Neibach, I've got a rebbe, I don't remember, Bial rebbe, this rebbe, that rebbe, and it's interesting, he writes an apology, he says, I met you at the Bris last week, I didn't know that you're a rebbe, I thought that you're just a fine Baal Bas, and I was mechabed you kefi that darga, but But had I known that you're a person who, you know, occupies a rabbinic position, you know, I would have something along those lines. Listen, you know, learning to Torah Macharis, but at least the sense is that you never know. You don't know if you're it's a person. You do your best. There's no, but at least a person shouldn't feel smug about that. You know, I'm a really wonderful guy, and I'm very nice, and everybody's. That's the most we can do.
Thanks, Rabbi Yansky. Okay. Thanks, Yaakov. Amazing. A really amazing
difference. Yeah, thanks. It's a much better platform.
Great quality. Okay,
Shkoch Yaakov. He's okay. The whole week with all the other guys trying to make sure it works. So,
maybe thank you. Cool. Okay, guys, have a good Shabbos.
Bye.
Shabbos.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.